And a lot of agents think if I slow down, it's a weakness. I should be listing. I should be reading. No, no, no. Your brain needs time to recover. You get this what's called attention residue. Yeah. Exactly like if I said, okay, let's go to the gym and let's do a squat session. We can only do so many squats and so many reps of bench and our body needs to recover. When we're toggling from social media to Tinder to text messages to whatever else, we get this almost like a lactic acid. It's called our glymphatic system in the brain. And there's a residue which takes us time to catch up. This is the 4 p.m. reading the report and your brain is just not working. You've got monkey brain. So I say to agents with respect, go hard, be energetic, but chill out. You know, you don't have to be on 24/7.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent.
And I'm Mark Edwards. I'm the publisher of Elite Agent. And this week?
Well, we're continuing the theme of peak performance because, you know, new year, new me, new decade, roaring 20s.
I know, how crazy is it?
Roaring 20s. So today we're continuing that theme of peak performance. My guest today is Andrew May, who has written a couple of books. Mm-hmm. One is called Match Fit and the other is called Flip the Switch. So Andrew has a master's in coaching psychology and recently also started a PhD linking performance intelligence or performance quotient. So you know how everyone talks about
IQ.
EQ, mm-hmm. IQ. Well, there's a PQ, letter P, letter Q, but it sounds like PQ as in...
Well, you're on to something there, isn't it?
I reckon,
so you've got to be the peak.
You. Hashtag that one. Okay, so he started his PhD and he's a really interesting guy. Mm. And can I tell you, very fit looking.
Fit as.
And so we had this great conversation. So, you know, like obviously he walked in and I was thinking the whole conversation would be about exercise. Mm. No. Interestingly, he says that your performance increases proportionate to how well you recover from things.
Mm.
And this is something that we delve into in quite a bit of detail. So, you know, when you go to the gym, mm-hmm. you might do a heavy weight session and you feel stiff the next day.
Yep.
And that's a buildup of lactic acid in your muscles.
Yep. I'm just agreeing with you here because I sort of don't know why I feel stiff and sore, but I do.
Well, you complain. So we know you do. So it actually happens with your brain as well because your brain's a bit of a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've been exercising it a lot in a lot of listing presentations or staff meetings or mm-hmm. different things like that.
Yep.
If you go from one thing, one intense thing to another, to another, to another, to another, then you can actually have that sort of, and it's not lactic acid in the brain, but it's a different thing where you kind of like get a hangover, like from being so intense all the time.
Yep.
And so, you know, like while he is a peak performance coach, really interesting stuff, you know, running the whole gamut of how your brain is linked to your heart, is linked to your body, why fitness is so important to being able to show up and have people like you and be able to influence other people. So really, really interesting podcast. Heaps of notes, heaps of links. We went through everything, including some of the strategies I've used in the last 12 months, like, you know, signing up to the Peloton app and Fitbit and all that sort of thing. Just little things that you can do to make, you know, make your performance this year so much better.
I'm sure there are tons of little tips in there. And I'm sure also that you've actually got them all recorded down in the action guide.
I do actually. There was a lot. So there's a lot of links and a lot of show notes. And, you know, and even if you are on holidays at the moment, you're sort of thinking, oh, God, I don't want a heap of advice on working harder. Mm. This is advice on working smarter, not harder. And we like our action guides to be the same thing. So you can grab the action guide. You can grab the links, take away all the best points, eliteagentelevate.com. We are here to help.
Put your email address in and they'll become winging straight to you.
That's the other
option as well is, look, obviously what you can do is print those action guides out yourself and put a staple in the top left-hand corner.
Yep.
Alternately, let us do all the hard work for you. So,
we'll deliver them.
Well, we do. I mean, if you subscribe to Extra, what we do is we combine them all of the podcasts for the month and probably an extra one or two, hence the extra, and send them to your door all in a 40-page booklet.
Full of inspiration. I reckon more than 100 ideas to grow your business coming up in the next one.
Easy. So. Look, I think the idea can is going to be very full on this one. So let's just enjoy the podcast with Andrew May.
Welcome to the podcast, Andrew May.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Very exciting to have you in the studio. New year, everyone's thinking about, you know, the usual things that they do during that time.
The fireworks crackle, hiss and pop every New Year's, and we grab a person close to us or a loved one. We go, Happy New Year, and that little voice starts, this year I'm going to get fit, lose weight, stop smoking, learn French, spend more time with the kids. And I say to some of my executive clients, why don't we get a beer coaster? We'll laminate it for you and I'll save you a couple of days' work every year. Because for the next decade or decades, we have the same internal voice. This year I'm going to get fit, lose weight, stop smoking, learn French, spend more time with the kids. So New Year's goals fundamentally are flawed. For most people, they do not work.
One of our recent guests we did that with is, I think it's 8% of people that can actually set a goal at New Year and then achieve it, which is an interesting statistic. And I'm going to get into the topic with you a bit later as to how you can achieve your goals. But just for the audience that might not be aware of who you are and what you do, can you give us a little bit of background on Andrew May?
Yeah, look, I'm doing now, I had no idea I'd be doing what I'm doing now. So if we rewind right back, when I was at school, I wanted to be a physiotherapist, but Mum said, you do all right in English, let's do law. So, you know, like a lot of kids in the country, I finished school in Dubbo. So I was going to do law school. And then at the last minute, I switched, much to my English teachers. And I think at the time, my parents discussed, and I did sports science because that was my passion. So I'd been good at running and good at sports. So then I went and studied exercise physiology. I got a coaching scholarship with the Tasmanian Institute of Sport and also to go down there and run in Tasmania when the AISD centralised. So my coach, John Quinn, had a whole bunch of misfits from all over Australia.
Yep.
And we went down there to train. Most of us were training for the Sydney Olympics. So I won multiple state championships but never went to that next international level. The other goal I had was to break the 4-minute mile. Never did that either. So was a good runner but didn't quite get to the next level. So as Australia, or as an Australian, when you're not at that top level, you don't earn much money. So I had to supplement my income. It's maybe politically incorrect in this politically correct world now, but I used to take fat blokes for walks. It's now called personal training. So it's evolved.
Yep.
And the fat blokes that I walked got fit and they started saying stuff like, Maisie, look, I've lost all this weight, but I'm better with my kids. I'm not getting cranky on a Saturday morning. My partner said I'm more attentive and I'm actually showing some romance. My brain's on fire. I'm creative. I'm innovative and my productivity's gone through the roof. What have you done to me? So then I studied exercise science to look at, you know, how does getting fit orchestrate the brain? And then also I did coaching psychology a few years ago to look at how the brain feeds the body. So it's both body, brain, body.
You're basically a full-time coach now, aren't you?
Not full-time, but my mother, like we had a book launch for MatchFit last week and one of the clients there said to my mother, it was a banking client, they said, so what does Andrew really do? My mother said, I've known him for 45 years. I do not know what my son does. So,
that's most mothers.
Yeah, probably as an entrepreneur, it's hard to explain exactly what you do. But if I put it into two buckets, I speak. So I speak at 50, 60 conferences a year as a keynote speaker. But then I've got a business called Strive Stronger, which is a boutique consulting business. And we also have a technology platform around well-being, around productivity and around leadership. So I coach 12 to 15 execs a year, a number of top 20 ASX CEOs, CFOs, some elite athletes, some entrepreneurs, some people you'd see on the TV, but I don't advertise it. I'm like one of the silent people behind them to help them turn up to the camera or the audience or just one-on-one to make sure they're in the right state.
Yeah. It's interesting. We've had quite a few guests on here too that have talked about the need for like a pit crew almost, like to keep you on the field. Oh, well, your book is called Match Fit. Actually, you've got two books, haven't you? You've got Match Fit and you've got Flip the Switch.
Flip the Switch was, oh gosh, really making me feel old now. It was about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was really flipping the switch between on and off because at that stage I'd left the Australian cricket team, worked with the New South Wales cricket team, did a bit of work in AFL, multiple sports. And I hit the corporate world. I went, what are you people doing? Why do you talk to people in an open plan office on email. You know, why do you send text all night long and then rock up and say you're tired and then your proposal's late? So as an athlete coming into the corporate world, I couldn't get why meetings were late, why we spent all this inordinate amount of time on rubbish and then we're not doing the proper stuff. So that was flip the switch. 9 years later, plus a marriage breakdown in that time period. So I had to really reboot my body and brain. Plus working at KPMG as a partner, I sold my previous business to KPMG and then spent time globally working with executives and banks. And I thought, wow, we're losing the plot. So flip the switch was about on and off. Match fit was about the whole next iteration. What do we need to get our bodies and brains, not just to be fit for work, but fit for life? Like, how do we carve out time to connect with what's important rather than just earn all this money to impress people we don't really like anyway?
Yeah, I know that's the thing. And I guess in the real estate industry, we're always trying to impress someone, whether it's a vendor, whether it's a bunch of buyers, whether it's someone on social media. How bad is the problem from your point of view? I mean, I read a report just this morning, actually, that said 40% of our time spent at work is actually doing things that are not work.
Yeah, and I'd say that's low. Yeah. So how bad is it? I love that you and I don't have a mobile phone in front of us.
Mm.
But your job as a real estate agent, I do a fair bit of work in real estate, and I could really carve out there'd be three or four things you should be doing. You should be prospecting and keeping relationships going. So when Mr. and Mrs. Smith or Mr. and Mr. Smith or Mrs. and Mrs. Smith sell the house, your port of call. So that's one. The second one is when you get a listing, be present. You know, get there early. It's all the basics. You know, you look good, but engage with people. And then you've got the follow-up and you probably put in auctions. I don't know what else there really is if you simplify it.
Mm.
And I see a lot of real estate agents. I do a bit of speaking in your industry. I love real estate agents. You're a passionate, fervent bunch.
They are, definitely.
Maybe doing a little bit too much of this stuff, not enough action. And I think that can be a risk as well. You know, you scroll over everything. But real estate agents, great energy, great enthusiasm. But I think you're buzzing the whole time. You know, it's on. And I say to a lot of real estate agents I work with, slow down. And they look at me, well, what do you mean? Go hard. Life should be an extreme sport event. So work hard, but then recover. And it's the same with fitness training, right? I spent 15 years traveling the world in sport. Do interval training, get your heart rate up, but do yoga. Chill out, sleep and recover. Spend time in nature and then spend time indoors. So I don't see real estate agents get the extremes that they're on all the time and they don't have sometimes that next level of intensity, but they definitely don't have to slow down. And a lot of agents think if I slow down, it's a weakness. I should be listing, I should be reading. No. Your brain needs time to recover. You get this what's called attention residue.
Yeah.
Exactly like if I said, okay, let's go to the gym and let's do a squat session. We can only do so many squats and so many reps of bench and our body needs to recover. When we're toggling from social media to Tinder to text messages to whatever else, we get this almost like a lactic acid. It's called our glymphatic system in the brain, and there's a residue which takes us time to catch up. This is the 4 p.m. reading the report and your brain is just not working. You've got monkey brain. So I say to agents with respect, go hard, be energetic, but chill out, you know. You don't have to be on 24/7.
Yeah, so just let me summarise that. So I go to the gym and I do a really heavy leg session, come out of there the next day I can barely walk, which is usually me,
yep.
And that's due to lactic acid buildup. And so what you're saying is that the equivalent happens in the brain is that we have a big day or a big meeting or something like that and you get the brain equivalent of that sort of stiffness.
Exactly.
Which if you don't recover from that, you're just going to stay stiff.
Well, you're custard. And like after a big, and I love hearing you do squats because all men and women should do squats. But after a big squat day, you stand up and you go, oh, and especially middle-aged men, we let everyone know about it. Hey, I did a squat session. But you don't come after five or six meetings and on social and email and go, oh, geez, my brain's foggy. We don't tell people. We just operate like that.
Yeah.
So a good way to punctuate this in the military, and at KPMG, I was fortunate to work with a lot of people in the pointy end. You can't really talk about it because it's quite secretive, the sort of work we were doing. But I learned, especially from the pointy end, that I have this beautiful saying, it's slow down in order to speed up. So if I'm a sniper or a paratrooper or SAS, you're not going a million miles an hour all day. They might be lying there for 3 hours, 4 hours, half a day until they make an attack. So they're calm. They're regulating the heart rate. The brain is focused. And then they react when they need to. So slow down in order to speed up.
Yeah, interesting. So let's talk a little bit about Match Fit, which is your new book, because we all want to be match fit for this next decade. Apparently it's going to be a good one.
Actually, I'm just dawned on that. It's a new decade, isn't it? It's not just 19 something, it's 2020.
This is the roaring 20s. So we're ready for a bit of rock and roll now. You know, last year was a bit of a tough year for real estate agents in terms of, you know, the market shifted, volumes dropped. I think, you know, with the APRA regulations, buyers were finding it hard to get finance
with Chinese.
Yeah,
well.
Yep. So there was largely, you know, we went through quite a bit of a dip, particularly down the East Coast, particularly Sydney and Melbourne, which did leave a lot of people quite, let's just say, with nothing in the tank. You know, and I know even we felt it a bit here that, you know, by the time we got to December, we're thinking, God, I just want to sleep in.
December's good. Like a lot of my clients are saying now it's June. You know? I get to June and I feel like I'm limping across the line. So I see this in all industries that we're going hard all the time. We get to Christmas and a lot of people get sick and they literally fall in a heap physically, emotionally.
Actually, that's interesting. So a lot of people do get sick when they stop. Why is that?
A multitude of factors. The main ones, they don't give their body time to recover.
Yeah.
So they're going a million miles an hour. The sympathetic nervous system is revving. So when I said before, extremes are good. So they're going at a high level, but there's no recovery.
Yeah.
And what often happens is the white blood cells, they come and wipe the body and say, you've been going way too hard for too long. So now I'm going to wipe you out. By the way, we're going to do it while you're on holidays for the next 3 weeks with your family and friends and loved ones.
Yeah.
They're going to get the shitty version of you. But you know what? When you go back to the practice, you're going to be better. So for your colleagues, good thing. Now, I'm being a little bit facetious. I have a goal with a number of my clients to help them go on holidays and not get sick. And it's all about that stress recovery balance.
Let's talk about how to reduce stress, like, because at the moment everyone's probably still on holidays, or most people would be still on holidays. Maybe property managers are not on holidays if you're listening. This is a shout out to you, knowing that you guys tend to work straight through. But say you are sitting on a banana lounge somewhere nice and thinking, this year's going to be different, I'm going to look after myself more. What are some of the things that you would recommend to get match fit?
That's a great question. I would go back to, first of all, don't just have a wish list. Like, what am I going to do this year to get fit? Because we often say, I'd like to, when I get more listing, when I get my junior agents above, you know, 50 houses sold this year, when I get the kids through school, I'm sure a lot of people in the banana lounges are nodding going, but then he's talking to me. So do it now, not when I. That's the first thing. The second thing is, with the book, it's written on three different parts. So Dr. Tom Buckley, associate professor at Sydney University. Tom and I have been working together now for 13 years in five different business iterations. But this, while it took us 6 months to write, it's collectively nearly 50 years of work. So we've divided into number one, find out where you are now. So there's a whole assessment piece, calculate, the Match Fit calculator. So I'd love everyone to go online or buy the book, find out your Match Fit calculator. It gives you a score out of 100. Are you Match Fit or not? And then it gives you a score on body and a score on brain, because it's really important for both.
Okay? Yeah.
My dual degrees, exercise phys and coaching psychology, they're interrelated.
It's so not this is you putting it all together.
All together, yeah. So number one, calculate. Find out if you match fit or not. Two, and you go in, there are six levers that can help you. And now I'm talking to you now and I'll talk to someone else tomorrow. You're two different people, different backgrounds, different beliefs. The list goes on. If I give you the same program, that's called malpractice from my end. So it's got to be personalized. There's six levers. Move, fuel, recharge, think, connect and play. And everyone's different. So some people need to move more and do more squats and do different exercise. We all need to look at our fuel, cut back the sugar, drink alcohol in moderation. You know, killjoy talking to you at the start of the year. But making sure we get heaps of veggies. We all know this stuff, right? Recharge is, stress is not bad. We'll come back to that.
Let's just hang on that comment that you just made about we all know this stuff. We do know, I think, most of us in our brains, what is going to work for us to make us have a better body composition or make us feel better. But a lot of us just don't do it. Why is it?
Oh, this is the million-dollar question, right? And I can't just go, bang, there's one point. Mm. Fundamentally, why? Is because we get busy and stressed and tired and fatigued. And when we're all those things, we're really poor at self-regulating. Self-awareness is knowing what to do. And I speak to lots and lots of people, and lots of your listeners know what to do. And when I'm speaking at a conference, I can see people going, really? He's telling us to move more? We're paying this clown this money to tell us to get off our backsides and get 10,000 steps. He's telling us to cut back the alcohol. Seriously, I could have saved thousands of dollars by getting up and not getting this clown to tell us that. But I'll frame and say, just because you know what to do doesn't mean you actually do it. So self-regulation is a whole different thing, a whole different thing. And that's related to schema, which is our internal beliefs. It's related to habits and behaviors. It's also related to accountability. So why a lot of people set New Year's goals and they don't achieve them? One is they're often extrinsic goals. I want to impress Susan or Michael or my boss or my kids. What do I want? So it's got to be more of an intrinsic goal. And the second thing, and I learned this in sport, and I think we've got a bit too politically correct. You know, we're all dancing around stuff. Sometimes we need a bloody robust conversation to say, Carl, you haven't got your listings, mate. You're not selling. Mate, fire up. I think when it comes to personal goal setting as well, you need someone to keep you accountable. I'm rude to some of my coaching clients, but I care because I've got some CEOs and some entrepreneurs and everyone's peeing in their pocket telling them how wonderful they are. And I go, well, you're overweight, you're lazy, you're disconnected, you're not hitting your full optimum. And I've got all the metrics to show you. So if you want someone to be nice, find someone else. So, but on your key question, I think we need people around us like that who keep us accountable.
Well, you just mentioned the two things that don't lie are the scales and your group certificate.
Yeah, so. I think I've heard that in real estate, actually. Yeah, I really have.
So. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, we've seen it too. We did a survey a couple of years ago, I think, that real estate agents that have a coach earn twice as much as the people that don't.
Twice as much.
Twice as much.
Wow.
So I think it's the same thing. Like, you know, like I've had a coach in the last 12 months as well. And without her keeping me accountable, I don't know that I would have got the result so far that I did. But, you know, like I think everyone's got to understand it's a bit of a journey, right? You know, like
it's
so long
a long
as you.
Game. And interesting you say that. Fascinating stats that earning twice the revenue. I even look back at when I worked in track and field, Kathy Freeman, you know, Australia's darling. We still all remember that 400 metre, that crazy space suit she was wearing. But what a lot of people don't know is an elite athlete like Kathy, or probably more modern, someone like Sally Pearson in this era, they have a support team, sometimes six, seven, eight people. You know what? Like they're a runner, right? There's just one person. No, they have a coach. They'll have often a nutritionist. They might have a physiotherapist. They might have a technique coach. They'll have a massage therapist. They'll have a manager. They have a really good team. And I say this to high performers, and I'd say to real estate agents, think of your board. So most of us have a dentist, a doctor, maybe should have a financial planner, a good real estate agent. Add two more things to it if you're really serious about what we're talking about. I'd add a exercise physiologist or a personal trainer. Even if you don't train with them every week, meet with them a few times a year. Two things don't lie, scales and your group certificate. Yeah. The second one would be around this space, a nutritionist.
And they're your board of directors, right? They're your personal board of directors. It's an interesting way of
looking
at it.
I'm qualified as a sports nutritionist. I'm qualified as an exercise physiologist. I have a nutritionist and I have a personal trainer.
Even though that's what you do.
Yeah. And some people go, well, does that mean you're weak? I go, no, it means I'm smart. Because I train with Dan Bradley over the road here in North Sydney. And Dan is what I call a friendly arsehole. Like I like Dan, but he trains me much harder than I'll do myself. And by default, I'm a cardio pig, right? I'd like to cycle and swim and run and surf ski. I like doing weights, but I don't love it. But I go to Dan and he flogs me and it's good for me. It's good for my body.
Sounds like I need to talk to Dan. I just want to pick up on a thought that you just gave me for a second there, because I heard this theory from somebody else and I just want to test it with you, is that you can actually read all you like online, but unless you've actually got someone to keep you accountable, and even let's just call it skin in the game, let's just call it money's changing hands, I'm paying you as my coach. I'm told that I'm way more likely to stick to what you tell me to do because I'm paying
Absolutely.
You. And again, this is for people that think that they probably can't afford it. Coaching, that is. Like, you know, I didn't think I could afford it either, but
I think some people can't afford not to do it.
It turns out because your health is everything.
But when you talk about well-being, so let's say Match Fit divided into body and brain, on the body, you don't have to pay a lot of money to have a group fitness session. You know, there's wonderful male and female trainers around this country of ours. No matter where you're listening to this, rural or big cities, you'll find a really good trainer that you can, you know, work with. Look, shop around, $15-$20, or there's PCYC clubs. And then sometimes I hear people go, oh, that's a lot of money. I go, that's bullshit. You just went out to dinner last night and you spent $80 on a bottle of wine. Seriously, and females listening to this, this is not me, obviously, but women will spend a couple of $100 on a haircut. Guys will spend...
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Like, I wish I could do it. Men will spend loads of money on golf or passionate pursuits, but then when it comes to our own physical fitness, we think, oh, no, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not spending money with this clown. Knowing it doesn't mean you do it. There's a psychology term which we call intellectualization that lots of people listening will pop now and go, yeah, I get that. So say someone wants to lose 5 to 10 kilos and they've read everything on intermittent fasting and ketosis and paleo diet and movement and mitochondria. And then I say, so are you exercising 3-4 times a week, doing a balance of cardio, but especially weight training? Are you getting your 10 to 12,000 steps a day? Have you cut back your sugar? And they go, stop it. This is hurting. No. If you want to do this, make yourself accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I've found two things in the past year, like even just really cost-effective things. And it is interesting that, you know, someone encouraging you can do this. But I subscribe to an app called Peloton. They don't have the...
Peloton's great, yeah.
They don't have the machines here in Australia. God, I'd love one of their treadmills. But I have found that I could go running on the treadmill with my own music and it's just kind of like a fun thing to do.
So Peloton, for anyone who's not sure, is an app. It started with cyclists, it's now moved to running.
To running, yeah.
I don't know whether they're going to be able to do it for swimming because you've got waterproof headphones, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you have a whole lot of downloads and they give you workouts. So, again, it's different horses or different folks, different strokes.
Well, yeah, I do find with someone in my ear that I will work harder, like automatically, as opposed to just, you know, cranking out the 80s tunes.
I love good 80s, especially the Bogan glam rock. Yeah. My Peloton, every Friday, Centennial Park with a whole bunch of men and women I've known for years riding around on our bikes, still thinking we're 15 again, trying to, you know, we think we're training for Tokyo Olympics. It's middle-aged male denial, but it's socialization, it's nature, it's competitive spirit and it's fitness. It's fantastic. So it's really finding something that works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We know leaders kind of eat last. Simon Sinek wrote a whole book on it. And I would say that there is a chronic wellness problem in the real estate industry, not just among the leaders, but also among teams. And I think you've kind of touched on it in some of your keynotes and things like that while I was stalking you online before you came in here. So tell us a little bit about some of the ways that you can invest in your team to make sure that you get the most out of them.
Well, this is a hot topic. I've spent this morning with a large Australian bank with their executive team talking about why, as leaders, they need to challenge what Simon Sinek said. I think leaders should eat first. Now, I love Simon Sinek. Start With Why is an amazing book, one of the books that I really get a lot of my clients to read when they've got no idea about their why or their compass. But I challenge that. I think leaders need to eat first. What I mean, leaders need to be match fit. Leaders need to look after their physical well-being, their psychological well-being, and their emotional well-being so they show up to work and then they can navigate, they can pivot, they can move. Leadership is bloody hard. It has never been harder to be a leader. At a banking conference I was at last week, this lovely lady said to me, Andrew, I wish it was the 1950s. I said, Mad Men? She said, well, partly, but she said, in the 1950s, you'd go to work at 9 a.m., you'd leave at 4:30 or 5, and that was your job. Yeah, and one of the other guys said, yeah, I'd love to smoke and have scotch at my desk. But nowadays, everything's changed so much. So for a leader listening to this, running a big real estate practice, you might start work at 6 a.m. You may not finish until 10 p.m. And then I have loads of people telling me in multiple industries, I did 70, 80 hours last week. I go, that's rubbish. You're going to see me, not for the proactive stuff. You'll see me and Dr. Tom and our team of reactive people because you're going to be burnt out, busted and battered. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, you may not have ramifications in your relationships and your kids. So I think leaders need to eat first. The number one currency that leaders need to look after, invest in and manage is their energy. Full stop.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it was a quote that I saw or heard from someone that said, if you don't make time for your health now, you'll need to make time for it later.
Yeah, there's like, a Dalai Lama quote, and I heard Ralph Norris at CommBank say a variation of this a few years ago, and it was, why do we spend all of our health trying to gain wealth? And then we retire and spend all of our wealth trying to get back our health.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's not a dichotomous situation, meaning a lot of, and I know a lot of real estate agents think this, I've just got to focus on the business and I've heard of this real estate agent did. You've got a lot of people in your industry who've been the chronic compulsive workers who write a book, do a seminar series and go, this is what I did, and then everyone follows that person.
Well, that's who they're told to.
Yeah. I'm challenging that because I think if you play a long game, you might work, you know, no one works 38 hours if you're self-employed, but you might work 45 or 50 and play a long game for 15 or 20 years and get the same level, if not more success, because you're not going to blow it all up. So it's about managing energy as a leader. And then the other thing is, and if we get a bit nerdy on the science, when you look after yourself and get match fit, you've got a better HRV, a better heart rate variability. Now, there's this wandering nerve, it's called the vagus nerve, that connects the brain and the heart. When you do interval training, but when you sleep and do meditation, you know, when you do weight training, but when you allow your hormones to recover, your body functions better. And the vagus nerve connects the heart and the brain, and we measure that through heart rate variability. So we do this with all of our clients. When you improve heart rate variability, what happens? You're more empathetic. You have more compassion. You are more creative. You have more decision-making capacity. You don't get sick on holidays. You're a better person to be around.
So there is a link, there is an absolute link between being fit and being able to perform better.
I'll change it a slight bit, even though my book's called Max Fit.
Yeah, okay.
Between being healthy.
Right.
Because I meet a number of middle-aged triathletes who are boring and need to get a life. You know, the people you meet that all they do is train.
Yeah.
That's actually unbalanced.
Yeah.
But research has proven, and I'm actually just starting a PhD to show how looking after your physical body and looking after your brain both together build leadership capacity. Because I don't want people thinking I've got to be ripped and buffed and go on Bondi Beach, you know, with a six pack or the skinny little G-string.
But you can help them do that too.
We've got the six-week shred.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, we do. We have a program that we guarantee you're going to lose 4 to 5 kilos, 4 to 6 centimeters, and embed habits forever around health and fitness. But that's a specific product. But I love your positioning, though. For a leader, we know if you're healthy physically and psychologically, you've got more capacity to listen and lean in. So to me, I think leadership's two things. One is state management. You've got to master those levers, how you move, how you fuel, how you recharge, the thoughts inside your head, how you connect with your purpose, connect with others, connect with nature, connect with community. And a big one for a lot of adults when we get stressed and tired, we stop playing. So you not only got to manage that, then you got to manage emotions. So when someone tells you something and it really fucking pisses you off, and then you carry that all day, you're terrible as an agent. You're terrible, you know, as a manager. So if you have an exchange first thing of the morning and someone attacks you for whatever reason, you got to know how to change that traffic light in your head and move on to the next thing. That's leadership.
Absolutely.
Then, so that's only the first thing. That's personal mastery. Then you've got to influence others. When I first was called a leader many years ago, I just did not comprehend how challenging, how much you need to invest, but also how rewarding, when you get it remotely right, leadership can be.
As a leader, if you're going to influence people, they need to buy into you. They need to buy into your vision and like you. And even to the degree that you were just talking about, they need to feel that you're interested in them.
Absolutely. So, and look, and not necessarily like, because I think a lot of young agents coming through are playing the like game. And I quote Paul Roos. I heard Roosie say this when I was doing some work at the Sydney Swans. He said his thoughts as a coach is not to be liked, it's to be respected.
Mm.
Yeah, and when you're running a business, you sometimes have to make decisions that people don't like.
Yeah.
You might put people in different roles. You might move some in, you might move some out. Sport's ruthless. In a professional sporting team, every year there's 15% turnover. And it's actually good because you get fresh ideas, you get young people coming in, you get good mentors coming in and everything in between. Whereas business, we can get groupthink sometimes where we have the same people in the same rooms having the same conversations at the same time each day. And then we wonder why 10 years down the track we go, well, we've been left behind with digitization and artificial intelligence and disruption. And your industry is ripe for disruption.
It's interesting. There's another quote that I love. I think it's Richard Koch, the author of the 80-20 principle. It's action drives out thought. Like, you know, so if you're always constantly doing, just doing the same things, then you don't have time to think. Mm. And I guess just to circle back on what you're saying there is that to give yourself time to think, to be creative, you need to be match fit.
Absolutely. And one of my favourite quotes is in this, and it's mine, because you don't – in Australia, you feel like a bit of a tosser if you say, you know, one of my favourite quotes is mine.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favourite quotes to teach audiences, especially leaders. It's the power of cultivating free space. And, yeah. and when I work with either a person one-on-one coaching, or we do a lot of leadership programs, and I say to the leaders, print out your diary in the last week and then show me your diary. And they go, oh, mate, it's been a bad week. Okay, go the last 3 months. It's been a bad 3 months. And I see with most senior yeah. leaders, there's no time to reflect or think or pontificate or ruminate. It's the joys of having free space. And again, as a leader, you've got to have personal mastery, but then you need space to make meaning of everything. And then you've got to influence others. And you can't do that if you just jump from meeting to open home to canvassing to marketing meetings to that's yeah. not leading. That's reacting.
I get that. All right. So let's get tactical. We're going to leave some links in the show notes for Match Fit and for Flip the Switch. I think it's great in terms of being able to switch off, like, you know, which is what we were just talking about.
Absolutely,
there, you
yeah.
know, like to actually create some time for creative thought, etc.
I know a lot of authors, artists, creatives, they consciously or they purposely build in boredom.
I do.
And it's the best thing to
make I never it. Used to, but yeah. I do now.
Boredom yeah, is awesome.
This year I have.
For yeah. ideas, yeah.
yeah.
Get off the mobile phone. You know, Instagram is not your job.
Get the journal out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get tactical. Let's say I've just given you a page in my diary and you're horrified. What does the ideal day look like for peak performance?
First of all, I know you are doing a lot of this, so your ideal day is good. So, yeah.
Thank you.
The ideal day, first of all, for everyone is very different based on your relationship status, how many kids you've got, whether you've got an intact relationship. You know, there's no one size fits all. That said, let me give you an idealistic day, and I don't want people listening to this. A lot of your listeners would be listening to this driving along. I don't want them crashing or pulling over in hysterics.
Yeah, they could be anywhere right now. They could be on a banana lounge. They could
holidays.
Be skiing in
yeah.
Europe. They could yeah. be in the car. They could be doing letterbox drops.
So we don't want them doing mental burnouts with what I'm about to say, because
yeah.
the ideal day, if I give you everything, will sound like an overloaded day.
So, we also take notes too. So
okay.
if you are listening, don't worry. Just download the notes.
Right. So this will make sense in the Cliff Notes. The ideal day would start waking up, not to an alarm clock, but waking up naturally. Now, three different basic energy personalities, and I'm interested in yours. Are you a morning person, or are you an afternoon or evening person, or are you in between?
I'm a morning person.
Okay, so morning person, people I call gazelles, that's about 20% of the population. I'm a gazelle. You go walking around parks, plains, ovals and terrains, and you see other gazelles. And what do we say to each other?
I don't know. Do gazelles talk?
they just do that. So 20% of people are gazelles. Now, there'll be 15% of the people listening to this go, gazelles suck. They are bears. They're the afternoon to evening people.
Yeah.
That in a natural environment, they'd start work at 10 a.m. and they do all their high-end cognitive work late at night. Then they would go and have a dinner and it's sort of into bed at 1 p.m. The bears really struggle when the sales manager says, right, Monday morning, coffee. Let's do the huddle, 8 a.m. Let's go,
yeah.
or 7:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And there's some people listening, about 65% who go, well, I've got morning tendencies and I can also work at night. They're a tiger. And the tiger is they rise up in the morning, they're good, they crash at lunchtime, and then they have a second wind in the afternoon. So first thing is to work out, are you a gazelle, are you a bear, or are you a tiger? What's your natural hour to get up? Let's pick a random number, which is sort of in between a lot of that. Say it's 6 a.m. 6 a.m., you would wake up fresh. I'd then get you to get a glass of water, maybe a bit of lemon and sea salt to rehydrate the body. Don't go coffee first thing. If you've got a dog or a partner or some kids, a good way to start the day is an easy walk. Then I would have breakfast for most people, probably 5 days a week. Most men and women over 40 should be doing some form of intermittent fasting. It's great for weight loss, fat loss, but also for hormonal regulation.
What is breakfast of champions? It's not a bacon and egg roll and a large latte, is it?
No, I'd cut out the milk and the latte because that's almost a meal. So breakfast of champions, we would look at your plate and we want to have a balance of ideally half from a plant, a quarter for protein and quarter of performance carbs if you're exercising and a good dose of fat. So I don't want to wreck everyone's holiday. What's a really good meal at your local coffee shop? You can have a little bit of bacon. I'd prefer you to have salmon, okay? You know, we know the processed meats burnt are not good for you. As a treat, you might have bacon, but ideally go salmon. Go a couple of poached eggs for your protein, but then go some tomatoes, go some avocado. Avocado also gives you the good fat. You might have some spinach, some mushrooms, and then you might have a piece. We're talking ideal day, a piece of sourdough if you're also exercising.
You make me hungry.
So it sounds good, right? And I'd still have a coffee, but I go a coffee with less milk. So you've done wake up naturally, get a bit of sun. So have the lemon, a bit of a walk to move the body. Now, some people might then exercise before that brekkie. An afternoon to evening person would exercise at lunchtime or in the evening. Then you'd commute to work. And on your commute to work, you would learn, especially as a real estate agent. You listen to elite podcast series. You listen to a language, or you might just get some of the basic news. Then get to work and frame your day and try and have boundaries. So I call them performance moments. So what are the key meetings you've got in that day? So you do a daily warm-up where you sit down for 10 or 15 minutes. So for me, it's what presentations have I got today? What media am I doing today? What coaching sessions? Have I got one-on-ones with my staff? But also what's important with my kids and my partner? Everything else is noise. Mm. But then when you spend that 10 or 15 minutes planning, it's like you're there. I've got a listing on Shelley Street and that's at 1 p.m. Because you've run through in your mind in your 8 a.m. daily warm-up, by the time you get to Shelley at 1 p.m., you go, oh, I was meant to be here. It just makes a massive difference psychologically to being ready. Then I'll get everyone to work for 90 minutes to 2 hours and have little lunch, morning tea. Maybe grab a coffee, get some protein, get outside and get some sunshine and get some dopamine in your system. Then I'd work from morning tea to big lunch, get away from your desk at big lunch, and then again go the performance plate. So lunch should be half plant, quarter protein, quarter performance carbs. Performance carbs would be brown rice, sweet potato, pumpkin, root vegetables, the non-processed carbs, and some good fats. Then I do the same in the afternoon. You know. So basically, I get people to work for four blocks of 90 minutes to 2 hours. After lunch, a lot of people are tired. That's not the best time to do your high-end research or your creative marketing material. Do some admin, do some email, some lower-level stuff, and then finish the day strong, then go home and get a life. Connect with your loved ones. Play, have some dinner, some social time. If it's the right day of the week or time, you have special cuddles. Intimacy is important. And then you'd have your lights out at about 10 or 10:30. So that gives you around 7 to 7.5 hours sleep, and you're connecting with all those different levers.
And it is absolutely possible to do that if you're creating the time and space in your head instead of getting overloaded and that equivalent of lactic acid that we talked about earlier.
And it's a great question on how do you set this up? Well, you actually set this up this time of year. You get your diary. I call it a better week. Lock in time for physical activity now. Make appointments. You know, get a trainer. Get someone else. Lock in time for play. Like I learned through my kids, they play all the time.
Yeah.
Kids have play-doh, play-dates, play-lunch, play-time, play-school. Adults go to meetings about risk and compliance. You know, we do email, and then we watch TV shows about work, the office, and we watch Suits. Adults are so boring. You know, we've got to have colour and play. Then put a bit of nature time in, then put a bit of time for food prep. So it sounds like a lot of preparation, and it is. High performance is not an accident. High performance is a set of rituals and routines where you're very focused on orchestrating the outcome.
Yeah, well, that's if you want to be an elite athlete, right? You know, you make the decision to go pro, and we even talk about that in real estate, the people that go pro. This stuff is not an option. Showing up is not an option. So, you know, you either want to get to that peak performance level or whatever your definition of peak performance is, and make sure that you create a life around that that is going to work.
That's profound. Create a life. Mm. And that's what I think a good performance coach does, helps you create that life. And I say to all my clients, it's actually easier to live this way. But if you're the opposite, if you're sitting there and going, oh, you know, this guy's giving me the shits, you know, I don't have the energy, I'm tired and fatigued, he's got no idea, he's never been a real estate agent, I don't have the listings.
Yeah.
Start with your energy. You know, whatever you can do to fire up your energy. Energy is contagious. and you want to walk into a room and you want the lights to go on. You don't want to walk into a room and have the lights go off.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is, you know, it doesn't matter how small you start, so long as you show up. That's kind of what I found. Thank you so much for coming in here, Andrew. You've given everyone a lot to think about in the new year. If there was one thing that you could leave people with, one tip or one thing that you want them to remember, what would that be?
That's a good question. This time of year, get moving. It's all about movement. And all the research we're doing, physical activity lights up the other levers, meaning when you move more, you eat better. When you move more, you sleep and recover better. When you move more, it lights up the pathways in the brain. When you move more, especially with other people, you can form relationships around it. And you can also build fitness in. So move, move, move. Some people will be going, I don't like moving. You do. You've just forgotten about it. Young kids will run all day. Yeah, they and then we go to school and go to real estate and then we suddenly don't move. So if there's one tip for your audience this time of year, you've got to get 10,000 steps minimum every day and build a bit of fitness in. And if you don't like it, suck it up and learn to like it, because it will do wonders for your brain.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll leave a link for Fitbit.com in the show notes as well. Andrew May, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.